For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard this week here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs, Jason Dumas, and Mark Randy with you until 6 o'clock. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We've got a special guest joining us now on the 95.7 The Game River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Jason, a guest that you know very well, right?
Yes, my guy, Rich Hotman. He is a newsletter editor and podcaster for PHLY Sports. He covers the 76ers as good as anyone in the country. Rich, how you doing, brother?
Jason, good to be with you. Guys, good to be with you.
So, Rich, before we talk basketball, I got to ask, what's the temperature like in Philly today? Because it's 100-plus degrees here in the Bay Area, and these Bay Area folks, they act like they can't, you know, coexist and walk around in hot weather. What's it like in Philly?
I think it's like high 80s, like 90s out here today, Jason. I will say I went to the Phillies game the other day, and it was like a Sunday afternoon game, and it was like 95 degrees. So it was pretty rough, but yeah, it's not too bad out here.
He lives by the beach, and my house is 107 right now, so it's a little bit of a different story in some parts out here, my friend.
Man, you would think they're in hell itself, Rich. All right, let's talk some hoops. We'll start with D'Anthony Melton, because that is someone we know will be suiting up for the Golden State Warriors next year. Then we can get into the whole Buddy Hield thing that's still pending, I guess you can say. D'Anthony, from everything I watched from my vantage point, and obviously you have a much closer look at the team, but it looked like D'Anthony was playing really well until the injury bug hit them. How was he playing as a 76er before his season kind of got derailed to injuries?
Yeah, no, he's a very good player, guys. And what did he sign for? What was it, 1 year, $12 million, something
yep.
like that?
Yep.
He would have gotten a much bigger contract if the injury did not happen. And he did not have, you know, it's kind of funny. He and Embiid were injured at the same time, basically the entire second half of the season. And when it's Embiid, I think, due to the player, it's like a state secret what his injury is. And in D'Anthony's case, they actually were very specific with it. It was, I believe it was lumbar spine bone stress. He had some back problems, and he was playing really well. Like, honestly, at the beginning of the year, the Sixers, you know, dealing with this James Harden drama, and then really just trading for a bunch of pretty good role players, but role players. From the Clippers, like they were playing great, and a lot of that was Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey playing great, but a lot of it was they were getting like good minutes from role players, and D'Anthony Melton was one of those guys. They had a five man unit that I think was like the best in the league, and it was Embiid, Maxey, Batum, Tobias, and then D'Anthony was the fifth one. And he's just like, he's a winning player, guys. Like, he's not an amazing on-ball defender, but he's pretty good at that. And then he's good at all the other stuff on defense. Like, he gets a bunch of steals, gets blocks, great rebounder, which is something the Sixers sorely missed in the playoffs and kind of at the end of the year. And, you know, on the other end of the court, like, he is a reliable three-point shooter. Not the greatest inside the arc guy, like a layup shooter. That's part of the reason, you know, he's not like a superstar player. He's more of a role player, but he's a guy that can play on a lot of winning teams. Like, I think Memphis screwed up in just trading, I think it was like the 23rd pick in the draft for him, and I think the Sixers clearly won that trade because he was a major part of their rotation for 2 years. But the only issue was the back, right? And he would, you know, he'd play two games, then he'd miss a month and a half. He'd play two games, and then he'd miss a month and a half. So if he can get the back issues figured out, whatever that is, surgery, rest, whatever is going on there, like, he is a better player than 1 year, $12 million.
Rich Hoffman out in Philadelphia, who covers the 76ers and everything out in Philly for PHLY Sports, joins us here on Willard and Dibbs. Rich, you brought up his time, D'Anthony Melton's time in Memphis, and I think back to when the Warriors played the Grizzlies in the 2022 postseason, and I was thinking, I think a lot of us out here, the Grizzlies need to be playing Melton a little bit more, because as you said, he makes all those winning plays, he does a lot of the small things, he's a good help defender, he rebounds well, and those were some of the areas that Klay Thompson had been struggling at a little bit lately. But I'm interested in his offense as well. Obviously, playing with someone like Embiid, that's an elite offensive player. But Embiid and Steph Curry are very different. How do you view his game offensively playing alongside a floor spacer like Steph Curry?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because the Sixers play a very different style than Golden State, right? Golden State, you know, with Steph, they're all about the player movement and the ball kind of pinging around the court. That might be a little bit of an adjustment for Melt, but like Melt is, I think he can fit into a lot of different systems, guys. Like, I think he's a pretty malleable player both on the defensive end and the offensive end. Like, and I think in some ways it'll be a good thing too, because the one thing you don't want him to do too much of is initiate offense, right? Like, you don't want him to run too many pick and rolls. You don't want him to have the ball at the end of the shot clock and have to make something happen. But, you know, in Golden State, with kind of how much they share it, how much of it runs through Draymond, I think, like, the cutting could be a big thing for them. Like, he's an excellent 2-foot leaper, like, throws down some serious dunks when he gets ahead of steam as well. So I think he'll fit pretty well out there. Like, it shouldn't be much of a problem. To me, it's all about the health.
Yeah, and defensively, I guess, is the big key, because last year Golden State had a major problem, especially with on-ball defense. Is that something he can come in and lock down for Golden State in the half court?
I would say on-ball is one of his weaker elements. Now, I don't think he's bad at it. I just think he's, like, average or so at it. And frankly, like, guys, like, there aren't too many perimeter defenders in the NBA that I would consider, like, super lockdown defenders at this point. But I would say most of his contributions will be, they're more off ball. They're more, he's pretty good getting around screens. I would say that's, like, that's a very important part of perimeter defense. But his weakest thing might be, like, just, like, staying in front of a player. But I still think overall it's a very, very helpful defensive player.
This is Rich Hoffman. He does all things for PHLY Sports podcast, daily newsletter. I've been covering the Philadelphia 76ers for a while and just the Philadelphia sports scene at large. Rich, let's circle to Buddy Hield. Now, Buddy had a very interesting season for the Philadelphia 76ers. In theory, when he was brought in, obviously it was to play with Joel Embiid, help space the floor, and looked like an ideal fit. But then reality struck. Embiid gets hurt. Buddy and him don't really have any cohesion because they don't really have any minutes together as they head into the postseason. What was just that partnership, Buddy Hield and the Sixers, like covering firsthand? Because from this vantage point, it looked like it never really got off the ground.
No, you're right, man. Like, he struggled. You said it well. And, you know, it's funny. After the season was over, Daryl Morey took some responsibility for that one. He's had a couple of these trades kind of at the trade deadline where he throws a couple second round picks, and I think it was three for Buddy, where they just haven't worked out for him. I think George Hill was another one the year before, a few years before. But yeah, it wasn't quite as good of a fit as we thought. Now, I will say, I follow enough people on NBA Twitter and enough people in Indiana. There were a lot of people there that were saying that, like, they miss Buddy. You know, it might have actually been a trade where both teams probably got a little bit worse. Like, the Sixers didn't get what they were looking for, and Indiana probably missed him a little more. And I think, like, you honestly look at the numbers, and they were pretty similar. You know, he's getting up his, you know, his, like, 7-8 threes per game in whatever minutes he's playing, and he's He's making almost 40% of them. But it just, it didn't feel like he was adding that element of spacing and shooting that we thought. It felt like, to me, his trigger wasn't quite as quick as, you know, one of the, as far as volume is concerned, one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time would have. So, you know, I think one of the key things, though, Jason, you mentioned it, he didn't get to play with Joel Embiid, and that's a huge part of, I think, what the partnership was supposed to be. Like, Joel Embiid is really good with these small guys. He had an amazing two-man game with a couple different players. The first one was J.J. Redick. The second one was Seth Curry. And Buddy, you know, basically had no chance to play with him. When the Sixers traded for him, Joel was already hurt. And then he came back for, like, six games at the end of the year. And then by the time the playoffs started, he was, like, out of the rotation, you know? And it's actually funny. His last game, he had gotten a couple of DNP CDs. He made five threes in the second quarter and basically brought the Sixers back.
Yeah, against the Knicks. I remember that.
Again, game six against the Knicks. And they end up losing the game. It was a great series. That, you know, every game was, like, right down to the wire. I guess that goes to show that, like, you know, even if Buddy Hield struggled for the Sixers, even if it wasn't the greatest fit, and I think it wasn't the greatest fit because he played for a bunch of kind of up and down teams before too, right? Like, I think it was a little bit of a culture shock for him to play with more of a slow down team instead of De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton pushing the ball and giving him threes. I think it just goes to show that he has the ability to go off at any point.
Rich Hoffman out in Philadelphia, who covers the Sixers and everything out there for PHLY Sports, joining us here on Willard and Nibs on the River Islands guest line. Rich, one of the parts of some drama around Klay Thompson the last couple of years, and maybe one of the reasons why he's no longer a Golden State Warrior, is because he at times would maybe be a little too aggressive in his shot hunting, and there was never a shot that he didn't like, and maybe some were ill-timed and, you know, time and score, and it got him into a little bit of trouble. I think nationally, that might be the perspective and the thought around Buddy Hield as well, and I know he was only in Philadelphia for a short time, but Is that true? Is he a guy who maybe can frustrate a fan base, a team a little bit, because he's a little too eager to get off his shot at times?
You know, it's funny. I actually would say the opposite now. I have seen at times, now I don't watch it as close as you guys do, but I have seen those times where Klay takes the shot with 18 seconds left on the shot clock and he's not really open and it's not a good possession. But in Philadelphia, I think part of this is being a product of our environment. Like, they've had such poor spacing for such a long time, and a lot of that is the Ben Simmons thing around Joel Embiid. Markelle Fultz goes back that far. Like, some of it is I wanted Buddy to shoot more, right? Like, I think Joel Embiid is that type of player where he's looking for more of those shots. Now, I will say one of the positives of that, and one of the things that I thought, it didn't really matter for the Sixers because Joel wasn't in there. I felt like Buddy's feel for the game was pretty good. Like, he can pass a little bit, and he can read the defense running off screens and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know exactly, where he fits in with the Warriors and how that is different from Philly versus Sacramento and those things. But, no, I thought he had a pretty decent feel for the game. I didn't feel like he took too many terrible.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, shots to the Sixers.
Now, Rich, do you have any idea of what the holdup could possibly be with this sign-in trade and what the Sixers, I guess, are probably looking for in return in this scenario?
Yeah, guys, I don't know the exact reason for the holdup. It seems like there are a bunch of moving parts. Like, I would imagine if the Sixers got involved here, it would be like a trade exception, maybe a second-round pick for their for their time, you know, a couple of smaller things. I think from their standpoint, I would be surprised if they were like a major player in this deal. I think they're kind of just here to facilitate. And if this does get over the line, they get, you know, maybe a couple seconds, something like that.
All righty. That is Rich Hoffman. Rich, I have to thank you for your time. Appreciate you hopping on, especially on short notice. I need you to promise me in the next couple of days, you'll get a cheesesteak for me, a water ice for me, maybe hit up the Jersey Shore because those are things I miss out here in the Bay Area. Rich, thank you so much for joining us, brother.
All right, man. I'll do that. See you guys.
Sam, thanks, Rich.
Yeah, that's Rich Hoffman. Rich, he's been covering the team for a long time. He has great insight. He's a great follow on Twitter. And Rich is actually, he shares an alma mater with a Bay Area great, an athlete who helped take a Bay Area team to a Super Bowl. Same alma mater as Rich Gannon.
Oh.
St. Joe's Prep.
There you go.
Wow. So Rich is a good guy, and glad we could get him on. He covers them as well as anyone.
High on Buddy Hield.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, if we could get if the Warriors could get a good Buddy Hield, that would be huge. And he's not replacing Clay. No one's gonna do that. But it would help soften the blow if he can play some really good minutes for this organization. Granted, this deal goes through. But when Shams puts it out there, you have to assume it's round and third.
Yeah. I think what I read was it was the agreement was in place between the Warriors and the Sixers. They were just trying to iron out the last few details of the contract itself between Buddy and the Warriors. So we'll see when that eventually gets done.
Yeah.
But maybe making like $15 to $20 million, something like that, I would
guess.
Somewhere
in there. And I don't think it's a huge rush because, you know, the Warriors are still out there trying to make the big swing elsewhere anyway. So, I mean, you try to iron out these details and the full expectation is that Buddy Hield is going to join the team. You mentioned something in your sign-off, Jason, about what you missed. Did you say water ice?
Yeah, water ice.
We call it ice water out here. Is that the same thing? Is it like, do you miss ice water?
No, you're thinking of like a bottle of water. Huh?
With ice in it.
No,
that would be ice water. What is water ice?
Water ice is like, and there's a few of them out here. Have you ever been to Rita's?
Rita's. No, I've had a margarita.
Oh, Google Rita's. Okay. There's a couple in the Bay Area. I think I got one in the East Bay a couple years ago on my way to a shoot. It's known mostly around the country as Italian ice.
Oh, gotcha. Like a snow cone.
Or like a snow cone, but it's different in Philly. It's called water ice. It's a different texture.
Gotcha.
And it's a regional thing for sure. But Rita's water ice, I think it's Rita's Italian iced. That's a national brand. So okay. I'm sure people listening right now, let us know on the text line if you've ever had Rita's water ice. But it's the same thing. But in Philly, there's a lot more family-owned water ice shops. Mm. Rita's is like the national brand, but gotcha. They have them in Philly. But that's what it is.
I'd never heard of water ice, and so I had to follow up to make sure.
Rita's ice custard happiness.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Sounds
get yourself
like
a gelati. Yeah. I could go for a Rita's right now.
No, I'm into learning, and this is something that I had never heard, and so I wanted to make sure that I had that knowledge going forward about water ice.
Well,
exactly.
You need it in Philly when it's 100 degrees and humid, huh?
100%. 100%.
Like the humidity, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, the humidity, that's why I'm like kind of mocking you guys out here because it's like super dry here. Like,
it's a dry heat in the city. It's only 80 here in San Francisco. I left my house out there by St. Mary's College today and it was 101 when I left and I just got a text from my wife and it's 107.
Jeez. Here we are.
To even go in the pool.
Here we are on the text line. I knew it was in the East Bay. There's one in Alameda.
Okay.
Arita's, and also one in Castro Valley. I'm seeing here on the text line from the 510. You should try it.
I will now. Today would be really the day, good. Right?
Get a gelati. Yeah. Get a gelati. Like, I haven't been to Arita's in a while, obviously, but my go-to thing was like the Swedish Fish water ice with vanilla custard. Whew. Oh man,
taking you back right now.
Yes, 100%.
Good.
Good. Yeah, it's a hot day. Good time for it. And tomorrow's going to be hot, too. Hope everyone is staying cool out there. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, Jason Dumas, Mark Randy with you. Just got off the phone with Rich Hoffman out in Philadelphia. Period here on our River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? He was high on Buddy Hield. That's one move that the Warriors have made. Well, it's not official. It would be one of the moves the Warriors make as soon soon as that does become official. But we all agree if they are to legitimately compete again, they need another move and a bigger move. What should that move be? That's up for debate. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. Zach is standing by in Pacifica. I'm sure it's a little cooler out there in Pacifica than it is in the East Bay as well. Zach, what's up? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. It's definitely cooler out here, but it's still hot for this area. It's like 70, and I'm sweating bullets out here, man. And it's never this hot. I just want to respond to people saying to trade Steph Curry. I think that's complete and utter foolishness. This is not like we're the Charlotte Hornets with Kemba Walker, some guy who's made the All-Star team a couple of times. I'm a Kemba guy. Shout out Kemba. But this isn't Kemba Walker. This is a top 10, arguably, in my opinion, top 7 to 5 player of all time. You absolutely don't trade a guy like this. Absolutely. He's a generational player. You keep him on the team and you go all in, all chips. All those picks, you trade them. Any player you guys want, you trade them. Because, I mean, what, you're going to trade Steph Curry for a bunch of first-round picks, a bunch of kids in high school right now? None of those guys are ever going to amount to anything Steph Curry is. I can pretty much assure that. So you go all in on Steph Curry. You put all the chips in. If that means trading Kuminga, I'm a big Kuminga guy, and I've been advocating for him for a long time, but if it means you got to trade Kuminga, you do it. You do whatever Steph Curry wants, unless he demands a trade. That's the only time you flip him. But I mean, this isn't even from a standpoint of like Steph Curry, we owe it to him. It's just like he'll help us win. Like, he's going to be the most vital part of us winning. We have a top 10 player of all time in his prime. I think it's absolute foolishness to even consider thinking about maybe potentially trading him away. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, Zach, you're speaking my language.
Yeah, I don't even like entertaining those conversations because they're just silly.
It's foolish.
They're silly.
I mean, utter foolishness.
The only job, Zach. Only time you consider something like that is if he approaches you and asks for it, and I could not fathom Steph Curry ever doing that.
Not now. I mean, maybe it's next year. Maybe it's next year at the deadline. If this year goes really badly and they don't do anything to help him and he spends another year of carrying the team and you wind up as a 10 seed and you don't make the playoffs, then maybe next year, if again you go through one more offseason cycle and again you don't see any real upgrades, then maybe. I still don't think it's that possible, but right now, with 2 years left and Draymond here for 3, and you got Steve Kerr, who is kind of signed on for 2 more minimum, I don't think we're even close to that conversation.
Yeah, they're playing their contracts out here, and then he wouldn't ask, he wouldn't do that. Like you said, his contract is up in 2 years. And this is still far-fetched, in my opinion, but maybe at that point he's like, you know what? We're trending downwards here in the Bay. I've given this region everything in me. I probably only have about 2 years left. Let's go to Charlotte. Let's go home.
Maybe.
Remember he jokingly said that when he was got the key to the city. It was like the same weekend where he graduated from Davidson. Yeah. It was the summer after they won the 22 championship. He had a hell of a summer. And you know, one of his stops was in Charlotte. He got the key to the city and he graduated from Davidson in the same year. And he made like some joke. It was clearly a joke, but sometimes jokes have a little smidgen of truth. We all know that when someone says something, they're joking. There's a little truth in there. You wouldn't have said it. He said something about, you know, maybe I'll play here. I love this city, blah, blah, blah.
But I think the likelihood, and I think it's very unlikely, the likelihood of Steph, though, getting to a point where he approaches Joel Aikup and Mike Dunleavy and says, you got to consider moving me because I want to win and I'm not going to do it here. That likelihood goes down if you go out and take a win now approach and try to win and acquire someone big. And you show that you're willing to sacrifice your potential future to try to help you out. Like if they stand pat and you keep all of your young assets and you struggle, the likelihood of Steph asking out is much higher than, say, you go out and get marketing. Even if it fails, I think the likelihood is less because at least you're showing Steph that you're still committed to trying to help him win.
Agreed, and I do think that it's more than just optics. It's the actual exercise of going out there and trying to find players that will help him win. And I do think that behind closed doors, Steph Curry has given his opinion about some of the younger players. So if there are younger players that he's less thrilled with playing alongside, maybe those are players that end up being a part of a big swing and a hit here in the next couple days.
Yeah. We'll see. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we still got some more calls to get to. That's coming up on the other side. How badly do you want to help Steph out? Or are you willing to just, you know, maybe just be all right for the next couple of years and then be potentially better equipped in the future after Stephen Curry? Also, we do got to talk about what Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews and Sam Amick and company wrote about Klay Thompson today. There's a lot of interesting details that I think points to why the Warriors ultimately did not offer at least a very competitive contract to Klay, or depending on who you believe, any contract to Klay. We can get into that on the other side as well. As Willard and Dibs continues, it's Dibs, Dumas, and Grandy with you. Our Warriors offseason summit is coming up on Monday, the 8th of July, on the rooftop terrace of Fremont Bank, state-of-the-art new headquarters. It starts at 2 o'clock with Willard and Dibs live and the rest of the crew from 4 to 6. Go to 957thegame.com to reserve your free spot today. More Willard and Dibs next on 957 The Game.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.